I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
No stronger.
I think those bumpers say it all. Think about it. Love God, save souls,
amen.
Slay error. What else is there to do? Terry and Jesse Show, Holy Hour of Power, High Energy Catholic Radio. If you're a low information person, maybe like Jeb Bush or Hillary Clinton, you would not like to replace us in the microphone here. You wouldn't make a good replacement. We need High Energy Catholic Radio, and that's what we provide here is full contact Catholicism. Terry, are you on duty?
I'm on duty, sir. Reporting for duty, sir. And Jesse, you know, today we're going to give the gospel like we always do, but we want to expose error and present truth today. And I want to, it's sad for me to have to talk about this religious ed congress, but we're going to talk about it. But on the positive side, we're going to talk about an archbishop in Africa and Uganda, who's doing something that was really inspirational. So you want to listen to today's show. It's special. But just today, we want to read from the gospel from Mark chapter 7, verse 14 to 23.
I love the gospel of Mark. It's short and pithy.
Oh, yeah.
Right to the point.
Yep.
Pulls no punches. Here it is. Okay. Jesus summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person, but the things that come from within are what defile." I want to just mention something. The Jews and the Muslims are real big on you can't eat certain food because they say that certain food defiles you. Nope, not New Testament Christianity does not teach that. We don't agree with that. Jesus Christ came to abolish that notion that things from the outside make you dirty. No, you'll see what he says right here. He continues by talking about what makes you dirty. Eating pork? Eating bacon? No. Here's what he says. When he got home from the crowd, his disciples questioned him about the parable. He said to them, "Are even you likewise without understanding? Do you not realize that everything that goes into a person from outside cannot defile?" There it goes. Again, an indictment on Islamic and Jewish teaching on kosher meals or halal meals. It says, "Do you not realize that everything that goes into a person from outside cannot defile, since it enters not the heart, but the stomach, and passes out into the latrine?" That means toilet.
Mm-hmm.
"Thus he declared all foods clean." Did you catch that?
Yep.
"But what comes out of the man, that's what defiles him. From within the man, from his heart, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, praise. Lord Jesus Christ. Wow.
There's a lot of, first of all, what does it mean about the heart, okay? In biblical language, Jesus isn't talking about that the actual organ that pumps blood, okay? In biblical language, the heart means the vital center of life, specifically the sense life, the life of the intellect, the life of the will. That's what it means when you hear the Bible in his heart. It means the sense life, the intellect, and the will. So this is figurative language that's not a biological term. So what's Jesus Christ talking about that perversion comes from the heart? I'll tell you why it comes from the heart. Jeremiah 17:9. It says this: "The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately corrupt. I, the Lord, search the mind and try the heart to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." In other words, it always makes me cringe when I hear a fellow Catholic say, "Hey, if you want to know what's right," and this is just typical liberal modernism that they've heard all their life, and it's not their fault. I have to correct them constantly. They go, "Hey, dude, all you got to do is follow your heart." I said, "Stop it. Stop it. Where'd you hear that from?" "Well, yeah, I went to a retreat and stuff, and that's what they said in the retreat. Or I read, you know, this, uh, you know, this Jesuit publications or something, right? Now, you know what the church teaches? You follow your moral conscience formed by the word of God.
Amen.
You follow your heart. You could follow your heart into a house of prostitution.
That's right.
You can follow your heart into a bar. You can follow your heart into some type of sinful situation because the Bible says that the heart is desperately wicked and evil designs come from the heart. You can't follow your heart. You have to follow your intellect that's purified by right reason according to the word of God. Terry, I'm done.
Hey, Jess, thank you. An informed conscience. What a novel idea in today's church. Jess, if it sounds like we're being a little cynical, it's just because we've been around for 40 years watching this stuff and we're like, stop it! We're tired of it! Hey, I want to bring on Fulton Sheen into the room. I want all aboard, folks. Here comes that choo-choo train. Full Sheen ahead. And Jesse, he fits right with what you're saying. Bishop Sheen says, if you do not worship God, you worship something. And 9 times out of 10, it will be yourself. Oh boy, you have a duty to worship God, not because he will be imperfect and unhappy if you do not, but because you will be imperfect and unhappy. See, Jesse, all these folks that we're talking about, they're not happy when they worship me, myself, and I. Because what happens is, you get tired of it. You go, there's got to be something more. And yes, there is. It's a life in Christ. Because we want to introduce you to the person of Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. And Jesse, I think one of these archbishops, unless you're finished with that, let's go right into some good news about an archbishop out in Uganda who's preaching the word.
Great news there.
Yeah, tell us about him, Jess.
Oh, you got it right there in front of you.
Right, here it is, folks.
Yeah.
It's a decree he just put out. The archbishop's office, okay? He's coming out with this decree concerning the proper celebration of the Eucharist. Now, why is he doing that? Because the Eucharist is the source and summit of the Christian life. If you don't worship properly, then you're not worshiping God. So here's what he said. Relying on liturgical and canonical norms of the universal church, basing it on vigilance, which is required by him. In other words, this bishop is taking his job, his vocation from God, very serious. Jesse, this is a man who knows when he comes to meet God, that God's going to ask him, what did you do with his children? He said, I'm going to require by law to fend off, what did he call them, Jesse? Abuses and liturgical life of the church. He's just referring to the canons, canon 392. He's the Archbishop of Kampala Archdiocese Decree. He says, henceforth, number one, we'll go back and forth. Henceforth, it is forbidden to distribute or to receive Holy Communion in the hands. Thank you.
I like his name, by the way, Archbishop Cyprian Luanga. He took two names from two
saints.
A church father and a saint. Well,
that's
two
right.
saints.
Yep.
Saint Cyprian back
that's
in the third or fourth century.
Yep.
And then Saint Charles Luanga,
yeah,
who was an African martyr who was killed by the king because the king wanted to sodomize him and
exactly.
his 25 catechists. And he says, no, we don't do that. That's paganism. We're Catholic Christians. And so this bishop has taken two saint names,
that's awesome.
Cyprian Luanga, and he knows what's the source and summit of the Christian faith.
Absolutely.
He also says, following the clear norms of Canon 915, it must be reaffirmed that those living in illicit marital cohabitation and those who persist in any grave and manifest sin cannot be admitted to Holy Communion. He also wrote, illicit marital cohabitation could refer to a variety of situations, including divorce and remarriage, simple cohabitation, concubinage, and polygamy. And Terry, the good news is that you got more bishops and more priests that are just saying, you know what, this is the perennial teachings of the church. We're going to stand fast. And I say that because there's another Catholic priest here in our neck of the woods in Rhode Island.
Yeah.
I'm reading here. Father Richard Bucci.
Yeah.
He's a parish priest.
Yep.
Sacred Heart Church in West Warwick,
yep.
Rhode Island.
Yep.
He just made an announcement last week in the form of a flyer. He gave to parishioners and mailed to them to mail to his parishioners. He says, quote, in accord with the teachings of the Catholic Church for 2,000 years, the following members of the legislators may not receive Holy Communion, as are all the officers of the state of Rhode Island, as well as the island Rhode Island members of Congress. Terry, he's got a list here
yes.
of politicians who are pro-abortion.
That's right.
He put their names in a list.
God love them.
He printed their names.
That's merciful.
Don't come to my parish. You cannot receive Holy Communion. These are examples, Terry, of Catholic crusaders in our day and age, and we need examples such as this.
And his bishop in Rhode Island backed him. That's the beautiful part about that. Jesse, this is true mercy. I want to say this because this bishop, archbishop, is letting people know what is sin and what isn't sin, and what you need to be in the state of grace when you receive Holy Communion. That's mercy. You know what's not mercy? I'll call fake mercy. Okay, you know, fake news. It's fake mercy to say, oh, we don't want to turn you away because, you know, we don't want to be judgmental. So come on and receive Holy Communion. So you're living with your fourth or fifth wife. Come on in. See, this is fake mercy. And I'm going to say it, even at the highest levels of the church right now, we're putting this out, is fake mercy. Because I'm going to go with the perennial teachings of the church. And this archbishop has got guts, Jesse, because the reason other bishops aren't doing this, I'm going to be honest with you, is because he's going to pay a terrible price for speaking the truth with clarity and charity. And Jesse, later in the show, we're going to talk about those who are not preaching truths of the gospel and how they're not willing to lay down their life for their flock. And that's the Religious Ed Congress that we're going to be talking. But this bishop, Jesse, gives me great hope for the church that there's men like him and like Bishop Athanasius Schneider, Cardinal Seurat, and others who aren't afraid to speak the truth in charity.
Okay, so once again, this archbishop from Uganda, he forbids receiving Holy Communion in the hands.
God love him.
He wrote a decree on Saturday on the proper celebration of the Eucharist. He's forbade the reception of Holy Communion in the hand and reaffirmed once again that those living in illicit marital cohabitation cannot be admitted to Holy Communion. That's moral clarity. What we have, Terry, in a lot of quarters of the church, like the German bishops, the Argentine bishops, we have moral relativism.
You got it.
That's the battle in the church right now. Many of our leaders are moral relativists, and we need moral clarity.
Clarity with charity here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We'll be back with much more to inspire you. We finally did it. We have a Catholic Mental Health Conference on April 25th, 2020, here at the Sacred Heart Chapel with Dr. Luis Sandoval. He's going to be speaking on the basics of mental illness versus what we consider normal. Number one, he's going to go on the basics of mental illness versus what we consider normal. Second hour, depression, anxiety versus oppression and obsession. The third hour, bipolar disorders. Oh my gosh, infestation and possession. He's going to talk on mental health with the spiritual aspect. Number four, talk will be on drug use, altered mental status versus demonic influence. I want to hear that talk. I hope you do too. Go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call us at 877-526-2151. The date is April 25th, 2020. Be there by calling 877-526-2151. God bless you.
In 1 Corinthians 13:13, St. Paul says, "So there abide faith, hope, and love, these three." According to St. Ignatius of Antioch, faith is the beginning and love is the end. And God is the two of them brought into unity. Then comes everything else that makes up a Christian. May God grant that we may attain all the virtues that make for authentic followers of His Son.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
you know, several years after Vatican II, on April 12, 1970, Sister Lucia warned of a diabolical disorientation invading the world and misleading souls. That's the best description I can give for what's what I would call is the false prophetic teachers, by and large, at the Los Angeles Religious Education Congress, where unorthodoxy reigns, and it's reigned since Cardinal Mahoney started it. And I can tell you, Jesus Christ warned us about teachers like this in Matthew 7:15. He called them false prophets. Yep, beware of false prophets. By and large, that's what you're going to get at the Los Angeles Religious Education Congress, which is approaching once again. They boast an attendance of nearly 40,000 people. It's the largest religious gathering of Catholics in the country, maybe even the world. And throughout the years, it's been as infamous as it is well attended. And they consistently bring together speakers who openly reject church teachings on issues such as ecumenism. They promote false ecumenism. They promote transgenderism, homosexuality, women's ordination, and liberation theology. And this year's conference promises to be more of the same. We thought the problem was over when the dissenting progressive modernist nun, Sister Edith, I think her last name is Pendergrass.
It is. I know her well.
Yeah. And when she retired, we said, okay, we've got a new day here in Los Angeles. Somebody's going to come in and step in and repair the damage that's been done by her and Cardinal Mahoney for decades. Well, don't hold your breath, because now the Religious Education Congress is under a new modernist. She's the LA Diocese's new Senior Director of Religious Education, Sister Rosalia Mesa, a zealous promoter of leftist causes, of leftist schooling. And so with Sister Mesa at the helm of the Religious Education in the LA Diocese, faithful Catholics, don't hold your breath. Don't think you're going to see a lineup of good speakers. You're going to get more of the same. Terry?
Jesse, I want to give a little bit more of a background back before Mahoney even. In the 1960s, this conference used to be held by the LA airport, and then it went to the Anaheim Convention Center in 1969. And I want to just back up, because I've been going since 1972, okay, when I was a teenager, and it was bad then. As a matter of fact, to give you a little background, Father Raymond Brown, one of the modernist biblical scholars, in 1969, January 4th to be exact, he was invited to St. John's Seminary to give talks to our seminarians and priests. And there he told the seminarians and the priests that this idea of St. Paul saying that, you know, we could celebrate the Eucharist without the ordained priesthood. He also had some crazy ideas about divorce, saying that it's okay to have divorce and remarriage and still receive Holy Communion. Now, this is 50-some years ago, okay? So this has been going on even before Cardinal Mahoney. And then Father Raymond Brown starts getting invited in 1970 to the Religious Ed Congress and spitting out all this error for years. He died, years later. But every year, everybody was, you know, Father Raymond Brown. Then all these other modernists started coming in. And I want to share this because in 1986, I had tried to get into that Congress when I was promoting a radio called St. Joseph Radio that I started back in 85. And I printed 10,000 bags because they would never let me at St. Joseph Communications to have a vendor booth. So what did I do? I printed 10,000 bags and I went to all the vendors and said, yeah, you need some bags? They all said, yeah, for free. Yeah, why not? So we're promoting St. Joe Radio at that conference, and I get a letter from Sister Edith telling me that, you know, how dare you do that, and it was wrong of you. And so anyhow, I said, why don't you just let me in? No, they won't let me in. Now, move it up in four more years, 1990, Dr. Scott Hahn, I just recorded his conversion story. They still won't let me in. My good friend, Father Fessio at Ignatius Press says, Terry, come on in on my booth. So I'm promoting Scott Hahn and having a great time. And the officials with Sister Edith, they come to me and they say, get out! And they start screaming at me and hollering at me. And it's just, of course, I'm an umpire. I could care less. You know, I'm calming down and calling him by name and asking questions. And all the security people come and they're going, what is going on? Well, there's a charismatic priest from Fresno, California. He sees this woman out of control screaming at me. And he starts praying deliverance prayers over her. Yeah, he says, everybody get down on your knees. So I just picture this. He's praying over this lady. And I'm like, okay, I'll get down on my knees. So I prayed. And then finally, the security guys go, hey, lady, let's step aside. Let's talk. What's going on? I said, I think she's having a bad day or maybe. I don't know. But I'm just having a good time and God bless you. So nothing ever happens to me except a letter from the diocese saying you can't do that. So they're getting all upset. I can go on, but here's the point. They've even arrested me at this Congress. Back in 1991 or two with Leonard Guzzi, my World War II friend, and they said, no, we have to, Sister Edith has to wait for, and you have to talk to her because you can't be handing out these books and literature, which I could. And the bottom line is I've had nothing but trouble there, right? So why? Because I want people to know the truth about the gospel, and many of these teachers are in error, as Jesse just said. We can go through so many more. And last story, Jesse, Father Benedict Rochelle, everybody, you remember him? Yeah. Well, he goes to the conference, and they always would bring one or two Orthodox speakers to come in just to placate to us. But Father Benedict calls me up and says, Terry Barber, how are you? I said, good. I knew him. He says, congratulations, Terry. I said, what? You got booted out of the Religious Ed Congress, didn't you? I said, oh, yes, a couple times. He says, well, I just got my letter. I'm booted out, too. I said, well, for what, Father? Well, there was a priest who was preaching that Jesus Christ didn't physically resurrect from the dead. So in my talk, I pointed out the error in that and said, don't listen to him. And that's why they kicked me out. So what am I saying, Jesse? This whole Congress is a scandal. And you wonder why only 20% of the people are going to church today. And I want to call on my leadership. I know I'm going long here, but let me just finish with this quote. If I'm a dad and I let my kids play with the Ouija board, guess what? They're going to be lost to the Catholic faith. Well, I believe that our bishops need, especially my archbishop, I'm humbly asking him to say, knock it off, get rid of this Congress, bring in Orthodox speakers because souls are at risk. No other reason, not because I don't like it or Jesse Romero. Who cares about Jesse Romero or Terry Barber? I care about the truth, and the truth is what sets us free. And what's going on there is a scandal, and it's undermining the Catholic faith. I'm done, Jess.
Trust the perennial teachings of the church. Don't trust theologians necessarily, especially the ones at the LA Religious Education Congress.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, if you want me to describe them to you, they're dissenters.
Oh, it's a list.
That's the term, okay?
Yep.
A dissenter is somebody who completely opposes the church's teaching.
You got it.
You have a lot of dissenting theologians. I'm going to give you their names and some of their dissenting But in Latin, there's a phrase. It's called odium theologicum, which means theological hatred. A lot of these theologians there at the Congress, they have theological hatred about the teachings of the Catholic Church. So ask Archbishop Gomez to keep the Los Angeles Religious Education Congress Catholic. So the event is titled this year, Live Mercy, Be Holy. It's going to be held February 20th through the 23rd at the Anaheim Convention Center. A careful observer will note that in addition to the many dissident speakers, the Congress is going to host a number of events and performers who endanger the Catholic faith in a symbolic way. This could be more damaging, what you're going to see, than subtle heterodox teachings inaccessible to many participants. For example, liturgical dancers may not say anything against Catholic teaching, but their actions in all the liturgies are undeniably sending a message to catechists that this is something that they should take back to their parish, that this is something they should take back to their diocese. It sends a message that sensuous and ridiculous movements are compatible with the sacredness of the sacred liturgy of Christ's passion. That's what you're going to see present at the Congress at multiple holy masses. And the fact is that liturgical dancers have been a hallmark of the Los Angeles Religious Education Congress for years. And such can be expected again this year at the LA Rec. There's going to be four workshops on liturgical dancing.
Unbelievable.
Though it's a liturgical violation clearly outlined by John Paul II and the Second Vatican Council. But one of the workshops is going to be led by Betsy Beckman, who helped create and develop the Abbey of the Arts, described as a global online monastery fostering contemplative and creative expression and the members of this online monastery are collectively and disrespectfully named the Holy, look at it, the Holy Disorder of Dancing Monks.
Unbelievable.
The Holy Disorder. By the way, that's a term used by exorcists when they talk about a possessed person, an energumen. They'll say his intellect and his will are disordered. And when somebody is free from the diabolical, they'll say his intellect and his will are ordered. So it's what a coincidence that these nuns will call their group the Holy Disorder of Dancing Monks. An exorcist would look at that title and say that's a reference to possession.
Jesse, you said it well. And I know that this list is so thick. I got a piece of paper. We usually have a couple pages for an article. This is like 14 pages of dissidents that are going to be speaking. It's only growing. But you know, the number one guy that I have a concern with, I'm worried that he's going to put out the teachings of, not the teachings of the church, because of what he's written and what he said, is Father James Martin. Now, Jesse, 2 years ago,
He's backed up by about 12 other people this year.
But 2 years ago, I was working the Ignatius Press booth, and I saw Father James Martin walking down an aisle with all the vendors. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest, I still have my concupiscence, Jess. I'm a man. When I saw him and I knew who he was, I wanted to go up and confront him. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'll say it right on the air. I wanted to be man to man with him, and I was going to confront him in a very, aggressive way. And I had to say no to myself because I really did want to knock him out. I'm going to be honest with you. Jesse,
you're being open.
Just saying, I did. I wanted to knock him out because I saw what he was doing to the salvation of souls. Okay? So what did I do? Rather than committing a mortal sin, because I think hitting a priest like this probably would have been objectively mortal, I walked away. Now, I think today, if I'm there this week, this month, I will be able to have my faculties a little under control because I know what I want to tell him. I'm gonna confront him in love and say, Father Martin, you've been teaching things that are contrary to the gospel. I'm sure you're much more educated than me, but you're an educated fool, and you're driving people in error, and that takes people to hell. And out of charity, I want you to repent of that. That's what I'd say. It would be better than knocking him out, Jess. What do you think?
Yeah. Terry, there's a bunch of speakers here, but I'll share some of the theological positions they take that are dissenting against church teaching. But here's where all of them fall into one of these categories.
Oh, yeah. This is it.
They either promote the seamless garment theory,
right?
Or two, they promote moral relativism, or three, they promote the fundamental option theory.
All the above.
Or four, they promote modernism, or five, they promote what's called incrementalism. That means changing doctrine through dissent or silence from the pulpits. We'll continue talking about the Los Angeles Religious Education Congress. You don't want to turn that dial. Stick around.
This is Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This March, VMPR, in association with the Catholic Resource Center, will be hosting a special conference for the Adoremus Society. Adoremus at the Triduum, a conference on the spirituality of the Triduum liturgies, featuring speakers Father Joseph Fessio, Dr. Anthony Lillis, and Christopher Carstens, addressing such topics as developing a liturgical spirituality, the spirituality of Holy Thursday, the spirituality of Good Friday, and the spirituality of the Paschal Vigil and Easter season. It all takes place March 14th, 2020, at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel at 381 West Center Street, Covina, California, 91723. You can register online at vmpr.org or call now at 877-526-2151 to reserve your seat today for Adoremus at the Triduum.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Yep, this is Blue Collar Catholic Radio, or Full Contact Catholicism, where we speak the truth of charity.
Amen.
A lot of this infiltration, Terry,
it
goes back, I mean, there's a history of how communists, Masons,
that's right,
and homosexuals have infiltrated the Catholic Church, a lot of them by orders of Joseph Stalin. That's been very well documented.
Yes, it has.
But, you know, a lot of this stuff, Terry, is going to send mixed messages to what I would call the low-hanging fruit Catholic, the low-information Catholic. For example, in 2016, at the final liturgy at the Religious Education Congress, Archbishop Gomez, who was the main celebrant, he received the offertory gifts from the hands of a homosexual couple and their adopted son.
And what message is given there?
Yeah, that's, again,
bad message.
Whether he knew that or not, I don't know. I don't know his heart. Or whoever picked those people to give the gifts, this sends a clear message to catechists that are there, that are trying to learn their faith, that contradicts the 2,000 years of the consistent teaching of the Catholic Church on the depravity and the intrinsic evil of homosexual acts and the objectively disordered inclination towards them. Mm-hmm. And all the speakers here, Terry, on this list that we have, all of them are basically, they're beyond modernists and they're beyond theological dissenters. They're pushing the envelope, Terry, on sexual perversion now. Yeah,
I would even go further than pushing the envelope. They're contrary to what the Catholic Church teaches. I'll give you an example. Father Chris Ponette. I was at his ordination mass, okay? I know this man personally. Two things I'm going to bring up. Now, he's currently the director of the Office of Catholic HIV/AIDS Ministry for Los Angeles, and he's the spiritual director and ministry for the lesbian and gay persons. And this year, he's going to be giving a talk together with Dr. Arthur Fitzmaier, it's called Learning from the Generations of LGBTQ Catholics. Okay, this is a man who, two things. In 1990, when I was walking around the Religious Ed Congress, I went by their booth, the gay and lesbian booth, and I heard them talking about, be careful, don't say that we're for active homosexuality because there's some people from Catholics United for the Faith and they're going to expose us. So we kind of keep it low. And I'm going by him saying, it's too late, I heard you. Number two, I have a good friend who worked here with me. He wanted to get a job at a hospital, Catholic hospital. Father Chris Ponette was the guy who did the interview. And when my friend was asked the question as a chaplain for the hospital, what is his position regarding homosexuality? And he gave a biblical explanation that is what the Catholic Church teaches. The priest, Father Chris Ponette, said, you're not right for this job. We can't have you. Now, Jesse, we've got priest friends that have said when they go into the seminary, tell us what kind of a litmus test they've asked on that question. I mean, this is scandalous. Now, it pains me, Jesse, to have to talk like this. You know why? I want to talk more about introducing people to Jesus, but we have to expose this error so that truth can be proclaimed. Jess, tell us about your priest friends that regarding homosexuality.
There's at least a dozen priests that I won't name because their positions would be compromise if I did, but they're active priests in the Los Angeles Archdiocese. I have good relationships with them, and they've told me that in order to get into St. John's Seminary, one of the questions that they're all asked, what do you believe about homosexuality? If you give the Catholic catechism, mm-hmm. I think it's 2573.
Right.
If you give the Catholic response, if you say, it goes against tradition in Scripture,
wrong.
It's intrinsically
yep.
disordered.
Yep.
It's a grave sin. It's disordered. If you say all the things that are in the catechism, you will not be allowed as a seminarian into St. John's Seminary.
That's
so all my friends,
yep.
they had to say, oh, sure, no problem.
Yeah,
of course.
Who am I to judge?
Who am I to judge? It's a new age. You know, we've got to be open to change. And yeah, that's one of the fresh things that that we're understanding now through psychology and psychiatry. Yeah, that's not a problem. I got no problem with it. They all had to say that because they were told by other people ahead of them, the classes ahead of them, that's going to disqualify
that's
you
right.
from coming into St. John. Now, I don't know how it is now. I don't live in LA. I'm not connected at all with St. John's Seminary.
It's much
better.
I'm
not talking to anybody there.
Yep.
But so I can't tell you. I think things have gotten a little better. I'm in contact with like two or three seminarians. They say things have gotten better. But Terry, some of the other speakers that are there, Dr. Arthur Fitzmaurice.
Tell us about him.
Again, he's going to be presenting two workshops. One's titled Learning from Generations of LGBTQ Catholics. So that...
I'm sorry, Jesse.
Why don't they invite me to go speak there on the Lordship of Jesus Christ or on the social reign of Christ.
The King.
The social reign of Christ the King. Or on the power of the Eucharist, the medicine of immortality. I got 100 talks.
Yeah.
That would inspire people like nobody's business. Why is a Catholic going to spend a week in hearing a talk on learning from generations of LGBTQ Catholics? The talk describes that the workshop says that they're going to explore the evolving attitudes towards LGBTQ Catholics and implications for the future church. And his position on the topic, he says he's open, he's considering that he's an open homosexual who has long campaigned for the LGBT cause. Dr. Fitzmaurice, open homosexual. He's even advocating for the removal of the words in the catechism intrinsically disordered. He calls the catechism, the language, abusive language.
Yeah.
And he says other writings of the church, where it calls it gravely evil, this stuff must be deleted.
Yeah.
He also serves as a board member of the Catholic Association for Lesbian and Gay Ministry, and he refused to sign an oath of personal integrity, proclaiming his adherence to the teachings of the church. At the time, his ordinary, Bishop of Oakland, Bishop Salvatore Corleone, asked all the board members to sign an oath due to complaints concerning the group's orthodoxy, but he said, nope, not going to sign it. He says the request to sign an oath of personal integrity to the teachings of the church, Dr. Arthur Fitzmaurice says it's inappropriate, unprecedented, and potentially detrimental to church ministry. This is the mind of a dissenter, and that's what we have here, Terry.
Yes.
And what's worse is that this is going to scandalize the little ones, the flocks.
Not only scandalize them, Jesse, it's going to deserve. It's going to give them a malformed conscience that could lead them to hell. Now, I don't know what objectively they're going to be responsible, but I know those who are leading them are going to have global warming fast. Now, Jesse, here's another person, Father Gregory Boyle. I don't know if you remember him. I met him. He's well known for his work reforming gang members in Los Angeles. Okay, I get that. However, his views on homosexuality, women's ordination, go directly against the teaching of Holy Mother, the Church. So in 2010, I saw this video. It's on YouTube. It's an interview. Father Boyle was asked by the California Proposition 8, his response, including these words. Now, Proposition 8 was the one that a marriage is between a man and a woman. Here's what he said. I think it's always important to kind of say, how does God see sexual orientation? Does God feel like that same-sex marriage could happen? I don't think anybody who has a connection to God and God's understanding and depth of compassion who's going to say no. In the same interview, Jesse, he commented on the possibility of women's ordination, saying the Vatican just said that the ordination of women is a grave sin. Have you ever met anyone who's ever would agree with that? It's shameful to that the kind of stuff like that because it's not honest. The church should say, I'm frightened that women will be ordained. That's honest to say that. But don't say it's a grave sin because that's nonsense. Now, Jesse, those are the kind of guys that are speaking at the Congress? Are you kidding me? Now, Jess and I could be golfing right now and having a good time or on a cruise. Are you kidding me? I'd go to hell for that because I feel like we as individual lay people, and the canon law backs us up, Jesse, as you know, that we need to proclaim the teachings of the church. And when we have issues like this, we have to bring it to our pastors because they're supposed to be shepherding the flock to get us to heaven, not sending us to hell by putting out theologians and priests and sisters and lay people speaking on the contrary teachings of the church.
Catechism 907 of the Catholic Church gives us the right and the obligation to do what we're doing right now, which quotes Canon 212. Here's what it says. Lay people, in accord with the knowledge, competence, and preeminence which they possess, lay people have the right and even at times a duty.
That's what I feel.
To manifest to the sacred pastors their opinion on matters which pertain to the good of the church. And they have a right to make their opinion known to other Christian faithful. That's what we're doing right now.
That's right.
With due regard to the integrity of faith and morals and reverence towards their pastors, and with consideration for the common good and dignity of persons. We care for souls. That's
absolutely
what we're doing.
Absolutely. That's the only reason.
And we also care for the pastors. And by calling them to accountability for what they're teaching, this is an act of charity. Because as a Catholic, you cooperate in somebody's sin.
That's right.
And you participate in somebody's sin by not disclosing it. Paragraph 1868. If you keep your mouth shut about somebody else's sin that's affecting a whole lot of people, the Catechism says, by not disclosing or not hindering them when we have an obligation to do so, you are protecting evildoers, and that makes their sin your sin.
Absolutely.
You become personally now, you cooperate with them, and you're responsible for their sins by not pointing these things out and not disclosing or not hindering this. And so, as a Catholic, I'm just thinking about all the people, because I was like that 20 years ago, Terry. Coming from Hispanic culture, they, you know, Hispanics, we almost deify priests, okay? And there's a good and a bad to it. Hispanics, Filipinos are taught to, we have a high view, a very high view of the priesthood and of bishops. But the American side of me has come out more and more in the last couple of
years.
You
think?
Because I now I'm, you know, I'm saying, okay, we have to remember that the church has a divine side to it and a human side to it. And the human side to it, I've seen it all too well within myself and other people. It's ugly. We're all sinners, even priests and bishops. There are gradations of holiness. Not all priests are Padre Pio's and St. John Vianney's. And when we see Father Greg Boyle not living to the standard of a priest and saying the things that are just, that go against the perennial teachings of the church, we're going to call him on it.
I would say it's a sin of omission if Jess Romero and Terry Barber didn't call people out. Because you know what? We've got the knowledge to know what's right and what's wrong. We'll be back with much more on Virgin Most Powerful. This is Terry Barber with the Terry and Jesse Show. I'm here with Gil Olivetti. He is the president of the Catholic Men's Fellowship of California. Gil, we got a men's conference coming up.
I appreciate you having me on, Terry, to share about our Rise Up, O Men of God, the Church for You Does Wait Super Saturday Conference, and it's Saturday, March 28th in Covina at Sacred Heart Catholic Church, 344 West Workman Street in Covina, California.
Who are the speakers?
We have some great speakers lined up. We have Steve Ruta, former captain of the LA Fire Department. He's dynamic. Mm-hmm. He's energetic. He will really keep the conference moving. We have Monsignor Tim Nichols, the pastor from St. John Vianney's.
Oh, yeah,
he's dynamic. Mark McElrath, Father Darren Merlino, a trained exorcist. Charlie Eshelman, a past Navy SEAL. We have Deacon Omar Uriotti, who is from our parish, St. Louis de Marillac, and Father Joseph Shea.
And I'll be there myself, giving a little plug for Virgin Most Powerful.
You can reach us at catholicmen.org. Tickets are on sale there. Just follow the link. Tickets are on sale at eventbrite.com. Just be sure to get your tickets now till the 31st for $35 and $45 after that till the day of the conference.
Sign up for this men's conference. Call Gil at 626-841-9090.
I'll be sure to answer your call and give you all the information you need for the Rise Up, O Men of God, for you, the Church Does Wait conference. Thank you, Terry. Appreciate your help.
God bless you. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back.
We got a phone call. Welcome back to Terry and Jesse Show. Terry, some people say, say, you can't be naming people's names like that. That's disrespectful. That's a lack of charity. Really? Look what the Bible says. I can show you many Bible. I'll just show you one. There's a bunch. Mm-hmm. St. Paul, 1 Timothy 1:19 to 20. Did he call people by name that were heretics and apostates? Check this out. Quote, holding faith and a good conscience, certain persons have made shipwreck of their faith. Among them, Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Okay, he also says the same thing in 2 Timothy 2:14. He names two other heretics because they're ruining people's faith by promoting things that are lies. They're questioning the resurrection. So St. Paul, when he ran across a heretic, he didn't say, "Oh yeah, the bishop over in the diocese of Stockton." No, he didn't do that. He said Hymenaeus, Philetus, and Alexander have made shipwreck of their faith, and I'm delivering them to Satan. We are doing what St. Paul did.
Biblical. Let's get Anthony on the line. Young man, Anthony, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. What's on your mind, brother?
Reporting for duty, sir.
Oh, I love it.
All right.
Love it.
That's what I'm talking about.
So tell us, what's on your mind?
Just wanted to give a comment.
How old are you, young man?
Only 22 years old. Last year, I went to the Religious Ed Congress in Southern California, Los Angeles.
Yes.
And I approached the Catholics for Homosexuality booth.
Yep.
And it took a lot of courage out of me because this is the real spiritual warfare that's on our level. And I asked him, Catholics for Homosexuality is kind of confusing. And he said, well, yeah, at first I was confused first. I was a practicing homosexual and I wasn't receiving communion until my husband told me that it was okay. I just started laughing.
Are you kidding me?
I couldn't help it. I felt bad for this guy. So I asked him, have you read the catechism? Have you read anything biblical? And he goes, what is the catechism?
That's what I thought.
It's like, why are you letting these type of people into the Congress? And this is very confusing for the young people, especially.
Yeah. Well, Anthony, I want to say thank you for having the guts to say that, because that's been my experience of that. They don't call it the homosexual booth. They call it the gay and lesbian But the bottom line is you actually asked the question and they were honest because they told you what they really think. But here's the bottom line. You're an example of what is going on. You're 22 years old. Can you imagine if you weren't well formed in the faith, what you would think? Think about that. You would say, oh, I guess it's okay, right?
Well, there's a lot of people that are saying that it's okay my age, and it's scary.
Yeah, I agree. Well, thanks for your witness, and keep proclaiming the truth of the church.
Good job, young man. Good job.
The perennial teachings. Yeah, we're proud of young men like that. We
Absolutely.
Need more guys like that to proclaim the teachings. Again, sensible.
Terry, it's called the Catholic Association for Lesbian and Gay Ministry. Catholic Association for Lesbian and Gay Ministry. That's the official arm of the modernists to promote homosexuality.
Wow. We got another call, Jess. Line 2, one of our friends. Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. What's on your mind, brother? Our sister?
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead, my friend.
Oh, Terry, this is Daniel from San Bernardino.
Hey, I remember you, Daniel. You're a good man. What's on your mind, brother?
I just wanted to ask you, my parish is getting ready to send the youngsters to the...
youth day. Youth day. Yeah.
My parish is getting ready to send the young...
Yeah.
True?
Yeah.
Yeah, we know they're going to go to youth day. I went to that when I was a young person. Boy, that was...
Hey, go ahead.
Go ahead, brother. Oh, we lost the line.
We lost
it. I guess he's really asking is, what do I tell the young people? Personally, Jesse, if I was a pastor, if I was at the church as a catechist, I would I'd tear up the form that said the youth day, and I would have my own youth day where I would give them what the church teaches. Because
take them out to the mountains, and that's what my pastor used to do, Father Steve Gutron. He never sent his catechists or the young people to the wreck.
I guess he's back on. Go ahead. Is that what you're asking about the World Youth Day conference at the Religious Head Congress?
Yes, and also, Terry, where can I get the information that you're providing about the speaker?
Oh, easy. Just go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or jesseromero.com. We always
The article's called Beware of False Prophets.
Yeah.
Unorthodoxy reigns at the Los Angeles Religious Education Congress. So the article's called Beware of False Prophets.
Yeah, you just Google
Unorthodoxy
that.
Reigns at the Los Angeles Religious. It's a great article because it gives you all the names and all the errors that are going to be taught. And so you can get it from vmpr.org or my website, jesseromero.com.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because what I want to do is I want to present that to my priest.
Good.
And because I'm having a parish council meeting next week.
Excellent.
And I'm going to vote against them going, and I'm going to present that information
Excellent.
To them so they can read it.
Good job.
We need more guys like you. Do it with charity and clarity and your concern for your family. I love it. More. Hey, you know what, Jesse? I think we're rattling up the troops right now, and I'm glad we are, brother.
That's right.
All right, thanks so much for calling in, brother.
No problem. Anytime. Take care, guys.
God bless you. Okay, wow, that's impressive.
Well, we got John. John Bedard, you're on. Go.
Go, John.
You know, I live down the street from that place, maybe a mile away from the L.A. wreck.
Yes.
For the life of me, I don't know why we don't go in and disrupt it or have a sit-in. You know, I mean, really, would that be a very unchristian thing to do? I wanted to do it.
No, there's a lot of people that do it. No, John, I know a lot of people that do it, but they don't have that many. The numbers aren't that big, so they don't make a dent. And then they call security on you.
And they pick you up.
They got all the power. They call security on you if you start trying to do a... But yeah, I know. Terry and me have a friend that he was doing this for 40 years.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
His name's Fisher.
Ken Fisher. I mean, this man was out there holding signs and doing sit-ins. Yeah. And he'd bring as many people. It was called Roman Catholic Faithful.
Yep.
But there are just not enough people that are informed, A, and B, they have all the power. They got security. They rent the whole facility, so they can have you removed very easy. But that's your point's well taken.
Keep it up.
Hey, you know, can I ask you another real quick question?
Sure.
I don't go to all the conferences and stuff anymore.
Mm-hmm.
What is it like out there? Are you guys preaching to the choir? Are we getting a lot of young people?
Oh yeah, John, I'll let you have the answer here. The answer is that we got a lot of young people who are coming out wanting to go to traditional liturgies. They're speaking up for orthodoxy. I've never seen it in my life as much as we've had now. I remember the days when we would expose this conference and we'd get four or five people who would say, yeah, it's wrong. Now everybody knows it's wrong. Here's the bottom line, John. Whether it's bishops or lay people, we all want to be liked. So we're not willing to pay a price. I paid a price by getting thrown out several times. When I go to many parishes now, I've had people put up signs and say, don't listen to Mr. Barber. He's too traditional. I mean, I don't care because you know what? Life is short and eternity is forever. But more and more people are willing to make a stand right now and call it for what it is. I think that's when it's going to happen is when more of us lay people, as Bishop Sheen said, who's going to save the church? The lay people. We have to call our shepherds to fidelity, just like the dad in the home. If I don't lead by example and by discipline, then the kids are going to go astray. And that's what I see happening right now with our bishops. We pray every Thursday night here at our chapel for priests, bishops, and the Pope to be holy, and that our prayers are there 2 hours before the Blessed Sacrament on our knees. That's what I think also needs to be done. It's great that we can point all this out. I hate having to do it, but it needs to be done. But also, are we willing to pray for our shepherds that their eyes will be open? Because many of them, their eyes are not open, and it's hard for me to have to say that. But if I love them, which I do, I love my archbishop. I love the bishops. They're successors of the apostles. But please, gentlemen, wake up. We've got evil in our side of our church, and we have to call it for what sin is. And that's the most merciless thing to do, is to let someone wallow in their sins. And that's what's happening today.
Yeah, if you can go get the article, and you can click, and it'll take you right to an email to send to Archbishop Gomez. Get the article, okay? The article is called Beware of False Prophets.
Yep.
Unorthodoxy reigns at the Los Angeles Religious Education Congress. It's at vmpr.org or my website, jesseromero.com. Get the article. It's got a link to click on where you can send Archbishop Gomez an email, and also call him. You can call him. Archbishop Gomez, call him up at 213-637-7215. I'm going to repeat it
one more time. Yep.
Call Archbishop Gomez and express your concerns about the dangers to souls that this Congress speakers represent. Call them at 213-637-7215. Be firm but polite. Call Archbishop Jose Gomez from Los Angeles. Tell him your concerns about the dangers to the souls, especially after you read this article. Call him at 213-637-7215. Be firm, be polite. This is the largest gathering of dissenting heterodox speakers that happens every year at the official event of the Los Angeles Archdiocese. It's a calamity of enormous proportions. It only serves to embolden more dissent in the church, more confusion amongst believers, and it threatens the faith of countless Catholics. Call Archbishop Gomez at 213-637-7215. Last time, call Archbishop Jose Gomez. Express your concerns about the souls that will be going to this Congress by calling up the number where they're taking these complaints or their concerns, 213-637-7215. Be firm, be kind, and be polite, but be honest.
Amen. Remember, Our Lady said souls are going to hell because there's no one there to pray and make sacrifices for them. I say that in our church, we need to pray. Jesse, what are those five stones that we always like to end a show on that David had against Goliath?
Well, we're New Testament Davids, and so the five stones that we would use instead of the 1 Samuel 17, the five little rocks that he used, our first rock is pray the rosary every day. Amen. From your heart.
Amen.
Second stone, go to Mass every Sunday, holy days of obligation, and as often as possible. Add a weekly holy hour to your Catholic life. 3, read the Bible every day. How's that? The Mass readings. Okay? First reading, the responsorial psalm, gospel. You can even get that on your iPhone. 4, on Fridays, penance, fasting. Penance and fasting every Friday. Number 5, if you're in mortal sin, go to confession ASAP. If you're in a state of grace, maintain that state of grace by going to confession once a month.
Jesse, I always like to end on this because, you know what? Our show is all about helping you get to heaven. What state should we be living in, Jess Romero?
State of grace, last time I checked.
You bet. And what state shouldn't we be living in, even for a second?
Do not live in the state of mortal sin. If you're in mortal sin, as soon as this show's done, call up the parish.
Yep.
Say, Father, I need to see you right now.
Amen. I hope you enjoyed the show. I did. I hope it inspired you to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and His bride, the church. Full sheen ahead at Virgin Most Powerful.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg Thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of Thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests,
Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.